We have already heard precious words. We could stop at every verse, take in every thought, ponder on it, and ask, Lord, what do you have to say to me today through your word? Back then, the Savior spoke to his disciples. Today he speaks to us, to me and to you. Today we are the ones who have to carry out his will in his kingdom. It is not enough for us to talk about what God once did. God wants to come into his own today, among his people, in his kingdom. He wants to call. He wants to send. He wants to work, reveal himself, and call even the last ones into his kingdom. Reveal himself to them and make himself known. Here it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also. He had already called and sent 12. And then he called 70 again. And since then, he has called many and sent them out again and again. And those he sent have proclaimed his word. And that is important. That is what matters. Everyone carries out the commission that has been given to them. And I mean, we have no need or intention of saying anything about anyone in this place. But every church and denomination, every fellowship or congregation claims to be the Church of God, to speak and work in the name of the Lord. But then we have to accept the real comparison with the Word of God. Then we must be able to apply the standard of the Holy Scriptures. And the Church of the Lord must be the same today as it was in the beginning. It is not subject to time. It cannot change. Everything must remain as God has established it. And in these days, we are talking in particular about building up the Church of the Living God, not just about building a Christian community, but about building the Church of the Lord, those who will stand their ground before him when he returns. Because that is our focus, that is our goal, to be with the Lord. And that is why we need an absolute. And this absolute cannot be what people say it is. We all know that we have so many different directions on earth. Which one is right? Who can we believe? Who can we trust? Really, only God and his word. We cannot possibly trust people. Those whom the Lord himself has called, he says of them, as Brother Schmidt already emphasized from verse 16, he that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despises you, despises me. And he that despises me despises him that sent me. This is a very powerful statement. That the moment the Lord calls a person, we are no longer dealing with a person, but with the Lord who has called him. And at that time, the disciples went out, commissioned, authorized to proclaim the kingdom of God, to preach the word of the Lord to others, and to say, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Not only is it near, but in this Bible passage, it is said here, in the last part of verse 9, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Not just the general formulation, the kingdom of God is at hand, but it is come nigh unto you. It is preached to you. You can go in now. That's what it's all about. In general, and it's also written in the other Gospels, it says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Here it is come nigh unto you. To whom? To those who have heard the word of the Lord from the mouth of those whom he has called, whom he has sent, whom he has commissioned and authorized. The kingdom of God had come to them. It was near to them. We are convinced that the Lord is building his church. As we read in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, this well-known passage, that anyone who has read the Holy Scriptures is sure to know by heart. Here it is written in Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not on Peter, but on this rock, on the divine revelation of Jesus Christ, for he is the rock of salvation. On him we too are built up unto a spiritual house, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. He says, I will build my church. Where the Lord can speak, where he can work, where he can reveal himself, where his word is heard and believed, people are added to his kingdom, to his church. Not into a kingdom, not into a church, but into his kingdom, into his church. They have part in what he does. We already looked at this yesterday, for the most part. I also read from a sermon by Brother Branham, whom God has used in a special way in our day. And we know that if someone is sent by God, then we should listen to him. And all those who are of God will realize it. They will be spoken to in their hearts. They will be drawn by the Spirit of God. And that is the marvelous thing, not the persuasion of people, but the drawing of the Spirit, the working of God in the heart of a person. What good is a big church if God could not build it, if the people who belong to it do not reach the goal. That is why, with God's help, we have set ourselves the task, or God has set us the task, of fulfilling His word and aligning ourselves with it so that we can stand our ground before Him. For heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will endure forever. Yesterday we read from 1 Corinthians 12. In this chapter, the Apostle Paul gives instructions for the church. And we are told in many places what the New Testament church looks like, what commission God has given it, what happens through it. And I believe that it is important to look at this so that our faith can be filled with life, with the Spirit of God. And the proclamation of the word is done for one purpose: to bring us into harmony with God, to bring us into agreement with God, so that He can work. God can only reveal Himself where people allow themselves to be brought into agreement with His word. The Spirit of God will always work according to the word of God. Otherwise, it is not possible with God. Here, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Perhaps so far first, two terms have been mentioned here. Firstly, by one baptism, and secondly, by one Spirit. And according to the word of the Lord, there is indeed only one faith and only one baptism, both of which can be read in the word of God. We can turn to Ephesians chapter 4, where it says in verse 5, "One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all." One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Today, there are different faiths, different baptisms. Everyone does what they want. This is not possible with God. God has a plan, and in this plan, which was laid down in His word, all those who want to stand their ground before God must submit. God will not change His mind and respond to what people have formulated. No, anyone who wants to agree with God must say yes to His word. It must come about that only one Lord rules over us, that only one Lord has the say over us, that only one faith is the measuring rod, namely the faith as the scripture says to us. And then only one baptism. Today, as we all know, people are baptized this way and that way, in different ways. So with people, there is always a variety of everything. With God, there is always just one thing. But this one divine thing is right, and that is what matters. It is not about the many things that may be before our eyes, but about the one thing that God has set down in His Word. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Isn't that marvelous? Can we count ourselves among this group? Can we say He is above us, in us, and through us? Have we completely submitted to God? Have we realized that He is one Lord, and that there is only one baptism and only one faith, namely faith in God, the Lord, who has ordered and established all things? Coming back to this word in the letter to the Corinthians, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, not by one water, not by three drops put on the forehead of a child, but by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And then, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. We already realize what this is about. Not about what people do, but about what God does for your soul and mine through His Spirit. Human actions are not enough in the kingdom of God. We need the work of the Holy Spirit. That is what matters. And we must be seized by the Spirit of God. Verse 14 says, for the body is not one member, but many. And then one is listed after the other. And it then says, in verses 19 and 20, and if they were all one member, where were the body? We now form the body of the Lord, the Church of the Living God. We can say, Lord, join me, join us to this body. But the joining together must happen through the Spirit, under the Word, by God. God joins together, and God forms this body. But it is not one member, but many members that form a single body, namely the body of the Lord. And the body of the Lord must be a living body. Christ has risen from the dead, and He lives. He lives only in those who have received new life from God. That is why our Lord will never be able to associate with dead religious systems, because everything man-made is dead. Everything created by God has life. Even in nature, in creation, every tree, every plant, every shrub, everything has life, even in the natural, because it was created by God. How much more has the one who has now become a new creation in Christ received new divine life and is joined by the Spirit to this living body of the Lord? Christ is the head, and when all the members have been joined together, then we are useful, then we can also fulfill the ministry He has given us. And that is what we want in this last time of grace, which is coming to a close. We want to experience once again that the Book of Acts and what happened at the beginning will happen at the end, thereby confirming that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is not your and my effort that is required here, but your and my faith, your and my obedience, your and my submission to God and His Word, so that He can fulfill through us what He has set out to do. Human endeavor has no place in the kingdom of God. It is our own endeavor. When the Lord Jesus sent out the 70 at that time, He commissioned them and gave them instructions as to what they were to do, and they acted on behalf of the Lord who sent them. So all those whom the Lord calls, whom He commissions, act in His name, but under the sound of His Word, people are called out into the kingdom of God, which has been brought near to them. For they believe, and everyone who believes will receive what God has promised. God can never take back His word and His offer. He stands by what He has said. Here it goes on to say, and it says in verse 21, "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." We realize that it is about every single member. And this reminds me of a scripture from the prophet Hosea, where the word member is used. In our days, it says everywhere about members. You can be a member of any organization, but with God, you have to be a member, not just a member, but a member. It is probably Amos 7. Here the prophet says the following: "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I am not a prophet, and I am not a member of a school of prophets, but I am a shepherd, and I raise mulberry figs. But the Lord has taken me from behind the flock, and the Lord has commanded me, Go, stand against my people Israel as a prophet. And now hear the word of the Lord. Here we already have this divine calling before our eyes in the Old Testament. The rebellion against the prophet was unpleasant for him because he knew it was rebellion against God. And then he defends himself and says, "Listen, I'm not a prophet at all. I wasn't a member of a school of prophets. God took me away from the flock. I was raising mulberry figs. And what was it? The people thought, here comes a man. He just comes and presumes to say this or that. And this man knew in the depths of his heart that I would be where I have always been today if God had not called me, if He had not sent me, if He had not given me a commission." And he says to this king here, "After all, I'm only a man who grows mulberry figs. But the Lord has taken me from behind the flock." So he had both. He had a grove of mulberries and he had a flock. And he says, "It is not I who have gone out from myself." He wanted to say, "I have done my task all my life. I have fulfilled it. Now here I am on the commission of the Lord God, who has taken me out of my earthly realm and placed me in His kingdom with a divine commission before kings and all the people to say what I have to say." He only needed to add, "King Amaziah, if you want to argue with someone, then do it with God the Lord, who called me and who sent me. For I only do what He has brought me here to do." People have rarely understood when God has sent prophets to them and have rejected them, even saying, "Go from here. If you have a message to bring, don't bring it here, because this is a royal residence." Think of it. Does not the King of Kings have power over all the kingdoms of the earth? Is not His word valid in the palaces of kings? God appoints, God dismisses. His word is the word of divine omnipotence, and it applies to all who are willing to hear it. But the prophet Isaiah writes in chapter 53, verse 1, "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" People, when God speaks to us, let us believe what He tells us. For that is what He demands of us, of you and of me. Of course, we can think in our hearts, "Who is this man who thinks that he can speak to us?" I could almost say the same thing, and many have said it throughout the centuries and millennia. We do not come from a school of prophets, nor are we prophets, But the word of the Lord has come to us, and therefore we must carry this word and tell it to others. Now, when the Lord has said, "He who hears you hears me, and he who receives you receives me," there is a great weight in this. Whoever rejects you rejects me. God sent his messengers at all times and spoke to the people. Blessed is he who could discern that it was not the man who presented his program, but that it was recognized. Here someone is speaking on a divine commission. Here the word of the Almighty is being proclaimed. Here the Lord is revealing himself. Beloved, how grateful we can be that God has found people in these last days whom he can still speak to, who become silent and who are ready to hear what he has to say. There are two possibilities. We can please God or we can please people. You can't do both at the same time. And this last week, I was in this room with a man, and we had a conversation, and he listened. He listened for longer than I actually had time for. And outside, on the steps, he stood there and said, "Mr. Frank, if you want me to tell it like it is, I will do it now." And he gave it to me straight. Everything we've done with our children, we've only done to avoid hurting Grandma, to please her, because we knew what the consequences would be if Grandma knew that we weren't going to church anymore and doing this and that with the children. And then it came over my lips. You have the choice to do what is pleasing to Oma, and you have the choice to do what is pleasing to God. Beloved, humanly speaking, you could understand that. It is a tradition. It is handed down from generation to generation. And when the wheel is suddenly turned around and a different direction is taken, then things get quite turbulent. But we would rather have a turbulence here in the family and a gentle transition into the glory of God at the end of our life's journey, than everything here being glorious and joyful and a great turbulence at the end of our life's journey. Beloved, you can think about such things, but that was an honest statement. We are just doing all this, and the result, because of pleasing people. God is looking for people who want to please him, and this at any price. But this always involved a sacrifice and a misunderstanding among the people, whether it was the prophets in the Old Testament, whether it was our Lord or John who foreran him, and later the apostles. God has always found people who put their trust in him. But from then on, these people were no longer understood. They began to swim against the tide. Traditions were thrown overboard, and a new life with God began. It's bad when someone converts from one religion to another. I don't think you should do that. You really shouldn't do that. You shouldn't go from one religion to another. But you should come out of everything and enter the kingdom of God. That's what you should do. You shouldn't change here and there. But if you do, then you should do it properly. It can only be right, as God has said in His Word. Imagine if in the days of the Lord the Sadducees had become Pharisees. They would only have gone from one human thing to another, and that doesn't help anyone. No, God calls out to us, "My kingdom has come near to you. I have sent you messengers to proclaim my word to you. You must make your decision before my face, for it is not they, but I have spoken to you and call you to serve me and follow me." In the kingdom of God, we are indeed not dealing with people, but with God. And we are happy about that. After all, the kingdom of God is the kingdom of God and is made up of people, but these people have given up everything of their own, I mean now in the religious realm, and have obeyed God's decrees and submitted to what belongs to the kingdom of God. And by it we have remained and will remain human, but with divine submission to His precious and holy word. Beloved, anyone who can taste and understand the grace of God and the love of God a little will not find it difficult to be placed in the kingdom of God. He will simply say, "Lord, now I'm here. Your word has penetrated my heart. I believe you. Accept me as your own. I want to enter your kingdom now." Amos said at that time, "I am not a prophet, not a member of a school of prophets, but the Lord has taken me from behind the flock to proclaim His word." Who were the 12? Who were the 70? Who were the ones the Lord called? He called one from the Sea of Galilee, another from the customs, the third from here, and the fourth from there. Everywhere He called them, He sent them, so that God's holy word could be proclaimed to mankind, and they would have the opportunity to enter His kingdom. Wherever men sent by God proclaimed the word, they were to say, "The kingdom of God has come near to you." How marvelous! Today, in this hour, we are very close to the kingdom of God. Many have already entered. Others can enter this morning. We don't need to wait. We can make our decision now and say, "Lord, here is my life. I consecrate it to you. accept me as I am. And God will do it. And we who have already become believers, and all those who are yet to become believers, must then be joined together as one, so that the Lord can once again reveal Himself among His people in these last days. May He give us a willing heart, an obedient heart, a believing heart by grace. Then it will not be difficult for us to follow Him, to serve Him, to believe Him. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, from whom are all things, and to Him and through Him and for Him are all things, and we too are for Him. You and I are His property. The price was paid on the cross of Calvary. The blood of the Lamb has flowed, and our Lord and Savior has cried out, "It is finished." And He said to the one who was crucified with Him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The Lord calls, "Blessed is he who follows Him." Amen. Let us stand and pray. Perhaps we will sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Let us bow our heads, remain in silent prayer before God, close our eyes, open our hearts, and talk to God in silence, while His Spirit works on us. God calls, He still speaks, His Spirit admonishes. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. All those who have followed this voice, heard the call, and answered it, will be glad throughout eternity and thankful that the Lord has spoken to them and revealed Himself to them. Many have already gone before us. The last are now being called. Today it is you. Today it is me. Today God speaks to us who are gathered here under the sound of the word. While we are thus bowed before Him, I would like to ask if anyone would like to respond to this call and say in their heart, "Faithful Lord, you suffered for me, you died, you shed your blood to redeem me. I don't just want to hear about your kingdom. I want to be in your kingdom. Accept me today. Receive me into your kingdom." And you will see that God does it. Anyone who responds to God in their heart can testify and raise their hand. We would like to pray with you. God bless you. We pray for each other so that the Lord can help each one. Is there anyone else? God bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a grace that you still speak, that you still call. We are here, faithful God, because you have spoken to us and because you have called us. We have come, and you say, "He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." You have never cast anyone out. You have brought everyone in. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Faithful God, begin to reveal the reality of your kingdom, of your word and your spirit, so that people are seized by you, so that your hand comes upon them graciously and your spirit speaks to them and they realize that it is you who have spoken to them. Lord, give us life-giving services, gatherings in which you reveal yourself, in which you can save, heal, and bless, as you have always done. Thank you, faithful Lord, for your precious and holy word. Thank you for everyone you have called. Reveal thyself to us anew. Beloved Lord, bless all those who cannot be here this morning. Faithful God, be nigh to them and continue to speak to all our hearts by grace through your word and spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen.